Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'll be with you for the next 20 or 25 minutes to chat about another topic regarding multifamily real estate investing. I hope you enjoy the sessions we put out every week. We would love to hear from you and give us some feedback, and happy to chat with you about your personal situation, whether you are a budding real estate professional and just beginning to put a portfolio together, or a grizzled veteran of the real estate battles, or an investor looking to build a portfolio from more of a passive stake, not interested in managing properties yourself, but looking to benefit from all the opportunities that multifamily real estate can provide, and looking to have a partner to work with, which is what we at Mara Poling do. So if you're interested in any of that, give me a shout. You can email me pat@marapoling.com, M-A-R-A-P-O-L-I-N-G.com. Swing by the website, which we are in the process of making some great improvements to, marapoling.com, M-A-R-A-P-O-L-I-N-G.com. And feel free to download some material there. We've got some great webinars that we've recorded that are available to you. Subscribe to the podcast. This is our third season. We've got a lot of great content here. And don't forget to check in with us every week as we post new content on a weekly basis. Today's topic is cap rates and why we kind of don't care about cap rates. So before you stone me as a heathen who, wait a minute, cap rates are really important. Let's talk a little about cap rates, what they are. Let's talk about how they move, and then I'll explain why we kind of don't care so much. So if you're newer to commercial real estate, maybe you've been investing in residential properties, got a few single family rentals, or you're simply new to real estate, you're investing in stocks and bonds and index funds and whatever else your broker has said, here, this is something you ought to be invested in. So a cap rate, we're going to talk about it a couple of different ways, see if it can help everybody. One way to think about a cap rate is this, is it's the unlevered rate of return on the invested capital. So here's what that means. If you were to invest $10 million, so you bought a $10 million building and you did it with cash, so no debt, meaning it's unlevered, there's no leverage. So a $10 million investment, if it generated $600,000 a year in net operating income, so cash comes in from tenants, right? They pay their rent and you pay a bunch of expenses like property taxes and insurance and the on-site maintenance team and other sorts of things like that. The money you're left with is the net operating income. That, as a percentage of the purchase price, the unlevered investment, is the cap rate. So in that instance, $10 million, $600,000, that's a 6 cap, a 6% cap rate. If it was a 5 cap, there'd only be $500,000 in net operating income. If it was a 7 cap, there'd be $700,000, okay? So that's a way you'll hear it described, the unlevered rate of return on invested capital. Another way you'll hear it described, and this is, I think, closer to the way it's actually used in terms of its functionality in the industry and in underwriting and so on, is it describes and defines the amount of money you have to pay to buy a dollar of net operating income. So here's what I mean by that, okay? So we're going to use a 5 cap because the math's a little easier. You might be driving, or maybe you're working out, or you're just relaxing and you don't have a notepad in front of you and don't want to do any math, which is fine. So we're going to use a 5 cap. So if there's a deal out there, an opportunity to buy a piece of property at a 5 cap, what does that mean? Well, using the what we just described, that would mean that if it was a $10 million property, there'd be $500,000 worth of NOI. But that's actually kind of backwards from how things work. We don't have values of property and then figure out what the NOI is. We know what the NOI is and we want to figure out what the value is. And so we use it in reverse. So we say we've got $500,000 in NOI. If the market is a 5 cap, then that building's worth about $10 million. You reverse engineer it into getting to that number, which means in that instance that you're paying $20 for every dollar of net operating income that you're buying. And I think this is a healthier way to think about it because it puts you in the right mode of thought, which is, how expensive is this deal I'm buying? Because as we said, I think a few weeks ago, we did a session on this. You're not buying a piece of property. Yes, you are. And there's a lot of benefits to it and tax benefits and all that good stuff. But you're buying a business. If you invest with Mara Poling, our total return fund owns a whole bunch of businesses, right? They're businesses that rent space to people to live in, called apartments, but they're businesses and they generate a certain amount of income, of operating profit, which is this NOI number I just described. And if you're going to buy a new property to add NOI to the portfolio, which we do on a regular basis, well, how much am I paying for that, right? So if I'm paying $20 for every dollar of NOI that I buy, I'm buying it at 5 cap. If I pay $16, right, I'm buying at a 6 cap. If I pay 13 something, I'm buying at a 7 cap. If I pay $12.50, I'm buying at an 8 cap. If I pay $10, I'm buying at a 10 cap. I usually don't use 10 as an example because it gets confusing because it's kind of 10 on both sides, which can be a little odd. And the markets we work in, Class B, value add, there aren't 10 caps out there. We've bought deals all the way up to 8 caps, and our model works. Certainly at 6, it'll work in the high 5s. Our model really starts to fall apart in the mid 5s. And that's one of the reasons we don't invest in some of the heavily compressed cap rate markets around the country. So a cap rate is a way to describe how much you would pay for a dollar of NOI. It's therefore a way that you can estimate the value of a property. As I said, if a property has $500,000 in net operating income and the market, the general market that you're in is trading at a 5 cap, then $10 million is a rough place to start. You'll hear there's a lot of caveat in there. And the reason there's a lot of caveat in there is cap rates ultimately don't have anything to do with how much somebody's going to pay for that property. The value of that property is set by the market. And the way it's set by the market is how many people seriously want to buy it and what value do they place on it based on their underwriting versus how many other places can they put their money, both inside multifamily or inside commercial real estate in general, as well as in other investments, such that they're willing to make that investment here in this property. So if you want to have a healthy property when you exit, and this is part of our strategy, we always look to put ourselves in a position where we can have as large a pool of prospective buyers as possible, because that's going to put our property in a more favorable light when it comes time to trade, which is a way of saying, yes, we're in a cap rate market where the cap rates move up and down, and that means something in terms of there's more buyers or there's more sellers. But with inside that, we want to be in a position where we're selling for a better price, where we're getting a better price. And that's one of the ways in which we kind of don't care so much about cap rates, right? But we'll get more on that in a minute from that standpoint. I mentioned the term cap rate compression. So cap rates move through a cycle. So when you talk about how they move, they look like they move because interest rates move. So they look like, oh, interest rates went up and cap rates went up. So I can do some math and I can simply say every time interest rates move by this many basis points, cap rates will move by this many basis points. And in our estimation, because there are folks that will say that that's correct, we don't believe that's correct. We believe that they both move for somewhat similar reasons, but they don't move in lockstep with each other. And here's what we mean by that is, and this is in my mind, a very simple economic concept, right? So that we don't need to have a graduate degree in economics to think through this. If we're in an environment where interest rates are rising, so again, we're talking about 10-year treasuries. So this is not Fed rate or any of that sort of stuff. We're talking about long-term interest rates effectively set by the market, by the marketplace. If those interest rates are rising, then as a investor, I have more opportunities, more places I could put my money, right? So I could put my money in this multifamily investment I want to put it in. Or, oh, look, interest rates have gone up. That 10-year treasury is looking more attractive. I can get a higher rate of return. And there will be some investors that say, oh, that's great. I'm gonna go put my money in there, right? So that's one thing that could happen. Another is that when we purchase an asset, we put debt on it. We leverage the asset. Well, that leverage has an interest rate associated with it. And that interest rate is very closely tied to those long-term treasury rates, right? The 10-year treasury. We watch that a lot. So if those rates are moving up, then the rates on our debt will move up. And if it costs more to borrow money, that puts pressure on a deal because the cash you're going to generate and the ultimate profit that you generate from a profit from a property will be lower in a higher interest rate environment as interest rates move up. So as interest rates move up, there'll be some buyers that will leave the market. Some people that will say, I'm not as interested in multifamily as I was a year ago when interest rates were lower, if that was the environment we were in. And so they'll leave. So it's those factors. It's the fact that there are fewer buyers, there are fewer investors, there are fewer people interested in buying an asset, that it's a supply-demand model. There is less demand for your deal that's out there, and that's what would make your price go down and the cap rate go up. So cap rates and prices move inverse from each other. So a way you can stem that, as I said, is position your asset so that you'll be in a position to optimize the not only the number of buyers that would be out there for your asset, but the quality of those buyers. And if you can do that, then you can be the 5-cap trading in a 6-cap or a 6.5-cap market. So cap rate, unleveraged rate of return on invested capital, it defines for you how much you're paying for every dollar of net operating income that you're buying this business that you're buying. And they move similarly to interest rates, but not in lockstep. And they ultimately are a function of what's going on in the supply-demand marketplace of the investing space for real estate. So why do I say that we at Mara Poling kind of don't care? Well, I don't mean to be flippant, although maybe I mean to be a little flippant. And that is, we do care, right? We don't want to buy 4-cap deals, and we don't want to sell when they're 8-caps, right? That would not be good for us long term. However, there's a lot about cap rates that can be, in our minds, distracting and that are less critical if you're long in real estate, if you're long in multifamily. That doesn't mean long in any one particular asset. We mean long in the class. And let me walk through what I mean by that. If we had a model, and this is not the model we employ, there are sponsors and promoters out there that do this, and I think some of them do a really wonderful job, and it has a different risk profile associated with it, But it's absolutely a way you can play in the real estate space, and that is to make short-term investments, 18, 24, 30-month investments where you're purchasing a property that's in need of fairly substantial rehabilitation. That work is done, and then it's put back on the market. And when it's put back on the market, often someone like me buys it, right? It's the kind of asset that, okay, now it's performing in a range that we can operate it and purchase it and do the light value add work and have security and stability and so on. But somebody else had to take the big risk to get it there. If you're doing that kind of work, then cap rates are really critical because you're going to be selling that asset in a very short period of time. You've most likely leveraged it with a very specific kind of debt that is short-term in nature. You are set up to have to get out in that time frame. And if you don't, there's real challenges. Doesn't mean it's impossible to deal with, it's just very challenging. So if cap rates moved in a short period of time in an adverse way, you could get caught in that kind of an investment. Our investment thesis is we like commercial real estate. We like multifamily real estate. We believe that multifamily is a good asset class to take advantage of, not only today, not just 5 years from now, not just 10 years from now, but over long periods of time. Pardon me, maybe 30 years from now, maybe it's not. Maybe retail's made a recovery or office or industrial or something else makes more sense. But we have a great deal of faith, certainly in the 5, 10, even 15-year time frame around multifamily. So if we're going to be long in real estate, now again, that doesn't mean long in any one property. We're not going to buy properties to hold them 15 years. Our hold period's around 5. There's a lot of tax advantages to doing that. There's an ability to free up lazy equity to really drive returns substantially without taking on any extra risk. And we've talked about those things in some other sessions. But we want to be long in real estate. Well, if we're going to be long in real estate, what's that going to look like? Well, what it's going to be is we're going to buy an asset. And when we buy the asset, we're going to be looking at, okay, how are we going to sell this asset? That's a big part of the purchase is what's our plan for selling it? Are we going to buy a property with 200 units and we're going to improve every last unit and we're going to do all the additional revenue generating ideas that we've come up with. And when we're done, we'll have a perfectly beautiful, completely finished asset. And if we did that, we might pat ourselves on the back and then we'd shake hands with the two or three people that might be interested in buying it because we wouldn't have a lot of buyers. And the reason for that is the community that is interested in buying perfected assets in which they basically clip coupons, and there's absolutely a community that's interested in that, is not as large as the group that's looking for value add opportunities. So if you can position the asset to still perform in the value add space, then you're going to get more buyers. So you do some improvements, but not all. In some instances, you do a very small number of improvements, but you do those improvements to demonstrate the value of them and the cost to do them so it's clear to the next buyer. You leave some meat on the bone is the formal industry term. So that's one of the things we do, as well as we're going to purchase assets that are in markets that are growing and markets that will be growing 5 years from now and so on and so on. So there's a number of things that we're doing so that we have some isolation from cap rate movement. We also underwrite 75, 100, 125, 150 basis points of unfavorable cap rate movement. So if we buy an asset and we buy it in a market that's a 6 cap, we're going to underwrite 6.75 or 7 or 7.25 or even 7.5% as the exit cap. We don't hope it moves in that direction. We don't think it'll move in that direction, honestly. The markets we're in have a relatively modest range of cap rate movement. That's one of our criteria. However, if it did, we'd be protected because we underwrote that way. And then the final piece of it is this, and this can sound a little contrarian, so I'll take a moment to go through it. We actually like selling in a market where cap rates have moved up. So those of you that are saying, all right, wait a minute, you want to sell when prices are suppressed by upwards cap rate movement? So in other words, we we bought in a six cap market and the cap rates have moved to 7 or 7.5, meaning we are not getting as much money for the asset when we sell it at 7.5 cap as we would if it was at a six cap. Why on earth would any, that sounds like buy high, sell low. That just sounds silly. Why on earth would you do that? Someone out there might be saying. Well, here's why we do that. And here's why we think that's a strategy that works. Now, that doesn't mean we intend that every time or that that will happen every time. It just means that we're not afraid if things move in that direction. And here's why. Remember, we're long in real estate. So when we buy that initial asset, we call those first generation assets. And I'm just going to make some numbers up. I buy an asset and it's $10 million. Somewhere down the road, we go to sell that asset and we have the ability to sell it for, let's say, $14 million. It's really done well. Or we've held it a longer period of time, 6 years, 7 years, something. We're going to sell it and we're going to get $14 million for it. Because we're in a low cap rate environment. Maybe we bought at a six and cap rates have moved down to 5.5. Well, that sounds great, right? Wow, look, you're going to make some extra money on that deal. That is correct. And because I use a 1031 strategy, because we're long in real estate, because we're going to roll those gains over and buy a larger second generation asset, larger being the key, when we go to buy that larger asset, it's at a 5.5 cap as well, or the market that it's in, at least, is at a 5.5 cap, meaning that when I go and purchase it, now I'm buying maybe a $19 or a $20 million property. Okay, well, what if the cap rate hadn't moved down? What if it didn't go from 6 to 5.5? What if it went from 6 to 7? Okay, so I don't get 14 million. Maybe I only get 12 million or 12.5. All right, well, gee, I just lost $1 million or $1.5 million. Why would I be happy about that? And here's why. Because the $19 or $20 million property I'm going to buy, it's on sale too, because cap rates moved. And in the asset class, generally cap rates are going to move together. Now, if you're looking at A's versus B's or hospitality versus multifamily, that isn't necessarily going to be the case. But if I'm looking at a B versus a B and they're in the same or very similar markets, the movement's going to be very, very close, if not exactly the same. So that $19 or $20 million property doesn't cost me $19 or $20. I get to buy it for $16 because it's on sale just like mine was on sale. So as long as I'm moving up, it's advantageous on occasion to actually have some unfavorable, or what would be described as unfavorable, cap rate movement, cap rates moving up. Do I care? Well, yeah, because I said I kind of care. And here's why I kind of care is when it comes time to harvest those gains, and reduce the exposure in multifamily, reduce the exposure in commercial real estate, and in the instance of some of our fund products, as an example, actually wind the fund down and dissolve the fund, then in those instances, yeah, you do want to try and optimize the value by taking advantage of cap rates when they're lower. But that's just one transaction out of the entire chain of first generation to second generation to third generation, and so on. And when we purchase our assets, we will structure the exit window. So it's not an exit day or month or 6 month period. We'll structure a window of anywhere from 18, maybe 24 months to several years, so that we have some time to be able to look at and decide when's the right time to go to market and what's the right strategy so we can optimize the value we would get when we exit, when we truly exit and end our long position for that particular investment vehicle. So cap rates make a lot of sense. They help everybody understand the value of an asset. They help you value an asset based on the net operating income it generates. If you're looking to invest with a firm like Mara Poling, that's one of the things you can look for is, hey, how much NOI is this asset generating right now? And what are you paying for it? And what's the cap rate in the market? And if somebody's buying something for a five cap in a six cap market, why are you doing that? There could be really valid reasons for it, right? Ultimately, when you purchase, the cap rate doesn't mean as much as how it performs inside an underwrite. If the math said something was a 4 cap, but when I plug it into my model, it works and hits all my return numbers, I kind of, again, don't care that that's a 4 cap that that person's asking for. Generally speaking, our model doesn't work at a 4 cap. But if it happened to, great, we'd be all for it. And we have bought assets at 6.5, 7, 7.5, 8, when the market has been 50, 100, 150 basis points below that. And there's lots of reasons why you can buy assets for better prices in good markets. But again, that's another topic. So cap rates can be very helpful to look at that way. Yes, they move. In some markets, they move over a really wide range. In some markets, it's a tighter range. We try to focus on markets where there's a tighter range of cap rate movement. We underwrite some unfavorable cap rate movement in every deal to protect ourselves so that we're not caught, if you will. And as we said, we kind of don't care because we have strategies that help us protect against cap rate movement, not only in terms of our conservative nature, but also in terms of the fact that simply being long provides you not only some time to weather any cap rate movement, it also puts you in a position where you can actually take advantage of what others would describe as unfavorable cap rate movement. I hope this has been helpful. Like I said, if you've got a question, shoot it to me, pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. If you would like to learn more about the Marapoling Total Return Fund, about working with us to build your commercial real estate portfolio, your commercial multifamily real estate portfolio, I would be more than happy to have a chat with you. Shoot me an email. You can swing by the website. There's some great material you can download there. There's also a link where you can schedule time on my calendar if you would prefer to do it that way. Join us again next week for our next episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Marapoling. Thanks.